out from him. Why is it then that these films are on the rise? That's coming up as well after our conversation with Dr. Ulifir. Stephen, I see your call. We'll take you shortly. Dr. Ulifir, thank you so much for staying with us. So my next question then is the issue of, you know, what is the attitude of the beverage industry when we speak about FASD, right? Are they funding your initiatives, or how are they assisting in the work that they do, that you do?
Yeah, we receive, as we said before, we receive funding from aware.org for the three projects in the Free State, Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, because like for aware.org representing the liquor industry is concerned about the alcohol, irresponsible alcohol use in South Africa. So striving to educate communities and to support people to make better informed decisions about their drinking practices, and also then support vulnerable groups with education and various support programs, whatever they might need. Like, for example, what I mentioned, our FAS Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby programs for pregnant women. So the liquor industry is very much aware of the problem with fetal alcohol spectrum disorders in South Africa. And as I mentioned, some of the listeners might not have heard before the news, is that we've got by far the highest FASD rates in South Africa. Mm. Our rates are about 30 times higher than the rest of the world, and that's according to World Health Organization reports. So it's a very real indication of the drinking practices in South Africa. Mm. So together we strive to change that around.
Let's take a call from Stephen in Pretoria West. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Tseho. I just wanted to ask, Doctor, the medication that are being sold over the counter that contains alcohol, do they have the very same effect as those alcohol beverages that are being bought at a particular store? And then how can that be controlled because the medication over the counter, anybody can go there and buy on behalf of somebody. As I'm looking at the particular, the young women that are just from the teenage stage where they find themselves in the position that are now pregnant, and they can send anybody to go and do that, because I understand from the state language that they want medication that makes it a little bit high. But does it also have the very same effect as the normal alcohol that is being bought in stores that are licensed to sell those alcohol, and then how can that be controlled?
Interesting question. Thank you for that, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dr. Ulifir?
Yes, Stephen, a very, very interesting and good question. When a pregnant woman or a woman who thinks she might be pregnant, when she buys medication or goes to a doctor, it is of vital importance that she tells the doctor or the pharmacist that she is pregnant. But also the responsibility rests on us as women of childbearing age to look at the labels on the medication bottle. You won't find alcohol in the tablets, of course, but the mixtures, because it must be indicated according to law what the alcohol content is. And you will quite often see a warning on the label that it's not, or on the package insert, that it's not suitable for pregnant women or children. So quite often, some of the medications which are prescribed for adults do have alcohol content, and that is also why they say it's not suitable for children. Also why this question is so good is that when women cannot access alcohol, we find that sometimes women, and this is not a common practice, but we have found that in our research programs already, that they drink large quantities of, for example, cough mixture containing alcohol. So one must have a look at what specifically is on cough mixtures as well before you drink that when you're pregnant. And also, Stephen, since you a responsible male, if the men can help us with that as well, because sometimes women have got such a lot of things to think about when they're pregnant that they forget about these type of things. So always read the package insert, always consult with the pharmacist, and with the doctor and saying, I think I'm pregnant, or I'm planning a pregnancy and I don't know, I might be pregnant already, or I'm not using a contraceptive, but I'm sexually active, so I might be pregnant. Very good question.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the issue of men, you know, and what they need to do. What are the things that they need to take into consideration when it comes to the women in their lives that are pregnant, but also you know, when it comes to them possibly consuming alcohol, or like what Stephen had said now, and what you've just mentioned, Dr. Olifir, with medication as well. What is the man's role when a woman is pregnant?
Extremely, extremely important role. You know, in the history with the Department of Health and various other programs offered to communities, quite often the men are excluded in these programs, or were excluded from these programs. So quite often men don't know these things, and they therefore think that they don't have an important role to play. But over and over again in our research, we see the influence of the man, the male partner, or the father as the role model in the family, and with his children. So the men, if we can start with the fathers, quite often we blame men and say they're not responsible fathers, or they're not actively involved in our programs. By the way, on these projects funded by and that we often support with Aware.org, we also offer programs for men, the Legacy Dad programs, because quite often men grow up in households where there are no fathers, or very not strong father figures, or maybe negative role models. So the role of the father in the family, talk about alcohol use and abuse, what the difference is. Talk about your children, about what alcohol can do to your body, why there's an age limit for when you allowed to start drinking in South Africa, what it entails if you drink alcohol responsibly, etc., and set a good role model. Then in terms of the father as a partner, the support in supporting the pregnant woman not to drink, firstly to plan a pregnancy so that you know when you're pregnant, and then to stop drinking while you're planning the pregnancy. And a good thing is the father can also stop drinking, and I know the men are smiling and laughing now, but that's got a profound influence on the pregnancy. And then supporting the pregnant woman not to drink alcohol during pregnancy, because as women tell us, it's very difficult to go to functions or parties or just get it together in South Africa if you're the only person who's not drinking alcohol. And in some cultures, you're not allowed to disclose your pregnancy until you're quite far pregnant. So immediately, if you don't drink alcohol, people look at you and think, is she not pregnant? So if the male partner can also then support her in drinking a non-alcoholic drink, that would be absolutely wonderful. And by the way, it's for the to the benefit of his child as well, and the future, because FASD is a lifelong condition.
And so what must women then take into consideration, and what would be your message, Dr. Olifir, you know, for women who are planning to fall pregnant first, but also for women who are pregnant?
Okay, the planning for pregnancy, I always say, and this might come across as very rigid, but if you're sexually active and you're not on a contraceptive, you might be pregnant without you knowing. And then you must, the best advice is not to drink any alcohol, because any amount of alcohol any time during the pregnancy is putting your fetus under risk of permanent prenatal alcohol damage. Then if you are pregnant, best not to drink any alcohol for the entire pregnancy, because the brain of the baby or unborn baby, the fetus, starts developing soon after conception. It develops right through pregnancy, and that makes the brain extremely vulnerable to the harmful effects of alcohol. So a child born with FASD always have some kind of brain damage, some form of brain damage, which leads to permanent learning and behavior problems throughout life. So those are the most important factors. And then if I can add on to that, the importance of talking to your children about and your family members about alcohol use and responsible alcohol use, so that together we can stand together to create healthier communities and healthier communities for our children as well. And that's basically what Aware.org and for are striving for.
You know, I'm now thinking, Dr. Olifir, as you speak, that, you know, we've spoken about the men's role when the woman is pregnant, spoken about what women must take into consideration planning pregnancy or when they are pregnant. But how can communities as well, because we don't live in isolation, how can communities also ensure that they protect the pregnant woman too, but also, you know, just to ensure that, you know, the woman does right by her baby and herself?
The best way I can answer this is to give you examples from when we start working in the community. There's always, when we start talking about alcohol use during pregnancy, there's a tendency of everybody in the community, men and other older people also, turning to women of childbearing age and then saying it's their responsibility. But as we continue working in the community and in communities that we've been active for some time, when you have discussions around prenatal alcohol use and so forth, everybody stands together and people are eager to learn. Also, what we see is that men would come to our centres, in our various project centres, and say, we are planning a pregnancy. That is a tremendous breakthrough in the community. Or my partner, my wife is pregnant. Can she come and attend your Healthy Mother, Healthy Baby program? Or a mother or a granny bringing a young girl or young boy to our centres and say, don't you just want to talk to this young person about alcohol and his or her alcohol use? I'm concerned about that he might not know enough or whatever. Or I want my child or my grandchild to join the youth program. And then when you see community members talking to each other, community leaders starting to talk about this, and church leaders talking about this to the church communities or the religious communities and so forth, and then the government department staff members and service providers, municipal councillors and so on, then you know you've successfully infiltrated the community and change is happening. Because behaviour change, especially in terms of alcohol use, is not happening overnight. It's a long, long journey, and it is important that it happens in the entire community, not only in certain so-called high-risk community members.
And a question on X from Monchu. He says, what is the best way to communicate with the biological family of a child with FASD?
Yeah, difficult question, because who diagnosed the child with FASD? Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is an extremely difficult condition to diagnose. Please do not just assume that because the mum drank alcohol while she's pregnant, the child has got FASD. FASD can only be diagnosed by a trained medical doctor together with a psychologist and a counsellor, because there are different tests that they need to do to exclude other conditions and to make sure that you're dealing with FASD and not maybe a baby who got injured during birth or something like that. So if there is concern about a child in a family that might have FASD, the first port of call is the clinic. The clinic staff all over South Africa might not be fully aware of FASD, because we still have a lot of work to do in this regard. Mm. But to say that you want this child to be assessed, and then if, say, for example, it's a family member or whatever, to share information. I always say, now that you know that no alcohol is safe during pregnancy, please share this information with your family members, your friends and colleagues, and be the brave person to support a woman when she's pregnant. And do not blame. women do not intentionally harm their children. And like I've said at the beginning of this interview, quite often women do not know that they're pregnant. 78% of pregnancies are unplanned in South Africa. So quite often a woman do not realize she's pregnant, and then she just continues to use alcohol until, whoops, she realizes she's pregnant and then stops drinking, and there might have been already damage done to the unborn baby.
Mm. Dr. Uli,
but it's never too late to stop drinking. I must add that as well.
All right. You've also mentioned something quite interesting that I want to ask after Mteto's question. Hi, Mteto. Good morning.
Good morning, man.
Morning.
I've got a challenge here.
Yes.
Yes. I lost my son last year, September, to this lean. You know the lean, what do you call it? Where you mix this cough mixture with the drink.
Okay. How old was your son? I'm so sorry for your loss.
27.
Okay.
Yeah, 27.
So he mixed cough mixture with alcohol?
Cough mixture with, no, not alcohol, with a drink. With these fizzy drinks, you know. And where I wash my car, I get traumatized there when I see these boys. And girls as well. They are mixing this cough mixture with the drink as well. So I get traumatized as well.
My word.
So what I'm concerned about is, when is this thing going to stop? To be stopped? Can you stop this thing? The doctor there next to you. When are they going to stop this thing?
So they are mixing. Maybe, sorry, Mteto, I just want to understand
mixture,
it with like cool drink.
Cold drink, yeah. Okay. They're mixing this cold drink. They buy cold drink, and then they buy this, what you call this thing? The cough mixture there. Uh-huh. And then they mix it together.
My word.
They become high.
My goodness. That is so scary.
So
all right.
When are they going to stop this thing? Maybe they, because this thing is available from my friends, you know, those guys that we call my friends. So it is available anywhere.
Yeah.
When you want this cough mixture, you get it from anywhere. These guys are not even, you know, pharmacists. They just sell this thing to these guys. So can we please have a way of, like, you know, protecting our kids from this, you know?
Yeah. All right, Mteto, thank you so much. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call, Mteto, there. Dr. Ulifir, lean, this is, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, where they're mixing cough mixture with cool drink.
Yes. Very sad. I also want to join you in saying, Mteto, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I'm truly shocked to hear that your son was 27 years old. And thank you for sharing that. Because, again, I want to emphasize to listeners, we tend to think that these things happen with underage children, young children, and so on. And here we're talking about an adult. So we've got a big problem of home-brewed beer or concoctions in South Africa. And the traditional home-brewed beer, it's got an alcohol content of plus minus 3%. Now, the danger is that people add stuff to the home-brewed beer to make it more potent. And then the same to cool drink and things like that, Teta explained to us now. And it is extremely, extremely difficult to control, especially if we do not know where it's happening. So every time when it's reported to us at AFAR, we make contact with the police, and ask them to follow up, and we make sure that it gets followed up, because our liquor law in South Africa, the one that still needs to be promulgated, is very strong against practices like this. Unfortunately, it's been waiting to be signed by the Premier still, and going through the processes, but it needs to be investigated and followed up, because here a young man died already. This is the one case that Teti told us now about. I'm sure there are more cases. We've seen the tragic happenings in the Eastern Cape 2-3 years ago that's still being followed up, for example, by the Eastern Cape Liquor Board, and very strong measures are being put in place to prevent things from happening like this happening again. But if it's not being reported to the authorities, we do not know, we cannot know of where it's happening. And you don't need to disclose your name to report something like that. It just makes sure that it gets reported. Very, very dangerous practice.
Sure, extremely. You'd also mentioned that just because a mother consumes alcohol during pregnancy, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will result in FASD. Is that the case?
Yes, that makes it also more difficult, and that's why we can't just assume that if a mom drank during pregnancy, a child will have FASD. It very much depends on when the mom drank, how much she drank, and how her body metabolized alcohol. But the sad thing is, a mom might not drink during one pregnancy, and then she's drinking during the next pregnancy, and then her child is affected with FASD. It also, the age of the mom and things like that also has an impact. But with that being said, we are actually shocked to see how many teenagers nowadays present in our various programs with children with FASD, all already indicating and also indicating the high levels of alcohol consumption amongst teenagers and children from a very young age.
Mm. Dr. Willifiri, let me thank you for your time this morning. Truly appreciate it, and thank you for extending your time with us as well this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
So informative.
Goodbye.
And so educative. Thank you so much, Dr. Liana Ulifir, the CEO of the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research. It is almost 7:30. At exactly 7:30, news headlines is coming up with Nosi Pogadebe, and then we'll have our sports headlines with Jabulani Mabele-Polori. Coming up after that, we speak about